ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाखय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वगन्मृता कृताम्बल्यम् तदातीश्वापतन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीशुकापदकमलम् श्रीगुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपाम् साग्रजाताहम् सहकला रघुनाथान्वितम् त्वं सजीवम् सार्वैतम् सापदूतम् हरिजनासहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपदाम् सहकला ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु च कपथे कोपेश्या गोपिका कन्दा राधा कन्दा नमोस्तुते हत्तकंसनाकौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी रममामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरूप्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतिथानां भावनिभो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासति गौरभक्तवृन्द
gratitude to all the assembled devotees. Yesterday, a very exalted dear Vaishnava of the great leaders of our Gaudiya Sampradaya, His Holiness Srila Narayan Maharaj, has by the grace of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar departed from this world in the holy place of Sri Jagannath Puri. Many of us know him for so many years. He's come to our temple, Radha Gopinath, many times. And we've visited him several times. Navadweep, Vrindavan. He traveled around the world preaching fearlessly the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was a dear associate of our Gurudev, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is certainly a great loss to the world when such an empowered Vaishnava returns to the spiritual world. So my humble request is let us take a moment of silent prayer and gratitude toward His Holiness Srila Narayan Maharaj. Together, Vamshakam Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. I'd also like to welcome some very special guests who are among the devotees today. Beloved friend, well-wisher, who has come on so many yatras with us to bless us, inspire us. He is one of the chief pujaris, priests, in Krishna and Balaram's eternal home in Nandagram. Welcome, His Grace Ramesh Chandra Goswami Maharaj. Has come to Srirangam, which is none different than Vaikuntha, with the spontaneous, sweet mood of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Specifically, Nandagaon. Thank you, Goswamiji, for being with us. Also, we have Mohan and Indira, who are two very dear students, disciples of perhaps the greatest influence of yoga in the Western world, especially His Holiness Krishnanand Acharya, who is a great Vaishnava of the Sri Sampradaya. Among his many students, BKS Iyengar, Pratabi Joyce, perhaps spread the science of Astanga Yoga around the world more than anyone else in history. Indira and Mohan, two very intimate, loving students, disciples of his. And they came to Srirangam on pilgrimage. I met them in New York as they were in America giving lectures and touring. Mohan, Indira, can you stand up wherever you may be? They are, let us very loudly welcome them to our yatra. Very learned, yet very humble and full of devotion. In the Sri Sampradaya, Srirangam is a supreme holy place. It is Vaikuntha manifested in this world. Its history and its glories are spoken of in many of the Vedic literatures, Puranas, and through the mouths of millions of pure devoted souls throughout history. I'll begin to tell the story where we left off in Rameshwaram. In our last katha, Sita had just been brought by Vibhishan before Sri Ram after the battle against Ravana and the Rakshasas. Sita was beyond any words we can possibly try to describe. She was elated. After 10 months of being emotionally tortured by Ravana, in bitter separation from Sri Ram, they were reunited. When Sita saw Ram, her eyes, like fully bloomed lotus flowers, drank his beauty like nectar. Tears of ecstasy filled her eyes. Her heart was uncontrollably overflooding with happiness. Vipralamba and Sambhoga. Sambhoga is the union, the meeting of the Lord and the devotee. And Vipralamba is separation. This Vipralamba or separation causes one's love for the Lord to find shelter deeper, deeper, deeper in the innermost recesses of our heart, where the Lord embraces us. And Sambhoga, that love, joyfully comes out from the heart toward the object of our vision, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The experience and the intensity of meeting is so much enhanced after separation. Actually, there can be no separation from the Lord for anyone. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriday sarjana tishtati. As Antaryami, the Lord is situated as the Paramatma, Super Soul, within the heart of every living being. The Upanishads describe like two birds in the same tree. One bird is very eager to find happiness by eating the fruits and berries of the tree. Sometimes they are sweet and there's enjoyment, and sometimes bitter and there's suffering. But that bird is looking for pleasure desperately. And there is another bird who is completely self-satisfied, who is sitting right beside the other bird, just waiting. Turn toward me, and everything you're looking for in billions and trillions, infinite times more, I will give you. However sinful, however wretched a person may be, the Lord never leaves our heart. Even if we are cast into the body of insects or reptiles or plants or trees, due to our rejection and abandoning the Lord, the Paramatma still lovingly follows us everywhere. Within our heart is our very essence. And and descends again and again within this world. Yada yada hi dharmasya glamir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Because we have, due to our own conditionings of becoming so infatuated, obsessed, and attached to external ego and superficial mental and physical pleasures, we have lost the ability to connect with that person who is the closest to us always. Aham Bija Pratapita, our supreme eternal father and mother who never gives up on us. That is the Lord's love. Comes to this world again and again to remind us that He's with us always. And speaks scriptures, shastras, that are forever ever there within human society, in various lands, spoken according to time and place. And the Vedic literatures that are the eternal standard of Sanatana Dharma, they're always there. From the time of the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma revealed these Vedas to the world. Before creation was even manifested through Brahma, the Lord taught us the purpose of this creation and how to live in it to achieve that perfection. And the Lord reveals through the hearts of His devotees most intimately the direction and the inspiration by which we can be reconnected. Bhaktya Tvana Niyashakya Aham Evam Vidurjana. Krishna explains in the Gita, through bhakti, I can be seen as I am standing before you, both within and without. Because it is not by our intelligence, our knowledge, our tapasya, our managerial skills, our physical strength, our wealth. There is no material method by which we could see God. It is only possible when the Lord, by His infinite grace, reveals Himself to us. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sthithartha vajanyaham namo vatmani vartante manushya parata sarvashah. The Lord reveals according to our surrender, according to how we take shelter, sharanagati, in bhakti. Is that science by which we take shelter? As long as there is false ego, you cannot really take shelter. It is superficial. Daivihi shugunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva metapajante maya meta turantite. Until we realize that without the help of the Lord, there is no hope, then we can take shelter. And then the Lord, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, reveals Himself when we approach Him with love. Sita is the Hladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord. Bhakti Devi, the very source of all love. the Shaktiman, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Lord, Ram, or Krishna, Narayan, is the supreme object of everyone's love. And his eternal consort, the Shakti, is the supreme abode of love. Just as we are jivas, infinitesimal parts of the same quality of the Absolute, Satchit Ananda, Sita, Radha, Lakshmi, is the supreme whole of prema or love. And our love is part and parcel of that. And even one part can conquer Krishna. That is his own sweet will. The greatest mystery of all the Shastras is how the Ishvara Parama, the supreme controller of all controllers, takes the greatest happiness in being conquered by the love of a devotee. In Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Dhamma is wrestling with Krishna. Sri Dhamma is victorious. Now, how could anyone defeat Krishna in wrestling? An expansion of Krishna's Mahavishnu, Karanodakshay Vishnu, simply by his exhalation, by breathing out just once, the entire cosmic manifestation is created. And by breathing in, the entire cosmic manifestation is just enters into his body, becomes unmanifested. How could a little cowherd boy defeat Krishna? By his love. Krishna takes greater pleasure being defeated by the love of his devotee. Yashoda Mayi, how is it that she bound up Krishna with the rope of her devotion, her Vatsalya Ras? And Krishna was tied up like a little calf with the same rope. It took miles of ropes to get around his little waist. But she tied him. And he cried. Queen Kunti, in her prayers, she was marveling at this incredible manifestation. Krishna, who is feared by fear personified, is trembling, lips quivering, eyes weeping, in fear of Yashoda Mai, who is a simple gopi, a mother. This is the power of bhakti. So the supreme reservoir of all bhakti, Sita Devi, after 10 months of separation, having to see the horrible, arrogant, lustful face of Ravana every day, being harassed by his rakshashis day and night, now she's standing before Sri Ram. It's like the sun after a long darkness. She's smiling. She's weeping in joy. And Ram, in a very official and grave expression, practically ignores her as if she didn't exist
said, I have done my dharma. I killed Ravana. Not because of you, but because it was the dharma. The demigods wanted me to do it. But you have been in his house for 10 months. I cannot take you back. What will people say? You can go anywhere you want. I release you. You can live with Bharat, Satrughna, Lakshman. They'll take care of you. Or you can go with Sugriva, Angada, or Vibhishan. They will certainly protect you. Go anywhere you want. She fell to the ground, weeping incessantly. Her heart was absolutely shattered. The peak of her joy crashed down into the lowest depths of sorrow and pain. Everyone was crying with her. Hanuman, Sugriva, Vibhishan, Lakshman. What to speak of, even the demigods were weeping. Why is Ram doing this to her? She was appealing to the Lord, testifying to her purity and her chastity toward him. But he did not move. She was devastated. She looked at Lakshman and said, bring logs of wood, and started on fire. If my Ram does not trust me, then I will end my life by burning in the fire. At that point, everyone's hearts were broken. And Lakshman looked at Ram, his younger brother. What are you doing, my brother? He didn't say anything. He just looked at him. Stop this craziness. We just fought this entire war for Sita. And now you're going to just allow her to walk into fire and end her life? Impossible. But the only expression that Sri Ramchandra gave was a nod of his head. Yes, Lakshman, get the wood. Through that nod, everything was revealed. Sri Lakshman, his limbs trembling, tears pouring from his eyes, heart broken, he gathered the wood and started the fire. Sita Devi circumambulated Ram several times, with folded palms, with tears streaming from her lotus eyes. And she circumambulated the fire and spoke, if for even one moment, in those 10 months, if for a moment, a twelfth of a second, there was ever a time when my mind was not fixed in pure, faithful, chaste remembrance of you, Ram, and let me burn. But if what I am saying is true, that I never for a moment was distracted from my loving devotion to you, if I never even for a moment had a thought of wanting to enjoy with anyone or anything else,
then this body, this fire, cannot burn me.
And then offering her pranams to Sri Ramchandra,
Sita fearlessly walked into the flames. It was a big fire. She walked right into the center, totally surrounded so that no one could see anything but flames. Sita was gone from our vision. At that point, when she disappeared into the fire, all the vanaras, the monkeys, the devas, and Lakshman, they practically died in sorrow and grief, besides themselves. At that point, even Sri Ramchandra, his eyes filled with tears, his heart broken. And time passed. All anyone could see was a blazing fire. She was gone. Suddenly Agni, the presiding deity of fire, appeared with Sita, dressed in beautiful clothes and garlanded with a mala of fresh celestial flowers coming out of the fire. And Agni Dev testified that there was not a single moment when she had the slightest thought that wasn't totally dedicated and loving devotion to you, Sri Ramchandra. She is perfectly pure in every way. Accept her back. Ram was thrilled. In ecstasy, he smiled and welcomed Sita back home into his loving embrace. Then Ram explained that I never had the slightest question about your purity, your chastity, and your love. But becoming a king, a leader, the tendency is people criticize. I wanted to make sure that the entire world knows without question of any doubt your purity and your love. And by doing so, I wanted to glorify your spotless devotion for all time to come. But for me, in my heart, I always had the greatest faith in you. This was necessary. Demigods showered flowers. The monkeys and everyone else cried in ecstasy. This was the fulfillment of everything. From the time Sri Ramchandra met Hanuman at Pampa Sarovar to the time they made alliance on the Rishyamukha mountain, they went in the four directions searching for Sita. Ultimately, they built that incredible bridge across the Indian Ocean and fought the most ferocious war that has ever been seen in this universe. It was all for this moment, to see Ram and Sita united. They cried out with their arms raised, Jai Jai Sita Ram. But they did it very loudly.
Thank you. Lord Shiva appeared and proclaimed that the 14 years of your exile is now finished. Sitaram, you can return to Ayodhya and rule the kingdom once again. Everyone is waiting for you. And look in the sky. Look who's coming to meet you. Sitaram and Lakshman looked up on a celestial chariot. Maharaj Dasarath, who was descending from Indra's abode in great joy. Maharaj Dasarath, who, out of love for Ram and Sita and Lakshman, gave up his body, his life, chanting the holy names in the pains of separation. Dasarath came down from his chariot, embraced Lord Ramchandra, and sat beside him. How can we imagine the joy of that reunion? Dasarath Maharaj said, living in Indra's abode is a very happy place, but it cannot compare to the happiness of this moment of being reunited with you, my son. Now please, the ultimate happiness of my life forever will be when you return to Ayodhya and rule the kingdom, where you will treat every one of your citizens as your own children with love. Bharat is waiting for you. Satrughna, if you delay, they will not survive. Please return to Ayodhya. And then Dasarath Maharaj looked at Sita and wept tears. What she went through for these 14 years. He said, please know, Sita, that when our beloved Ram spoke harshly and had you enter fire, it was only because of his love. He never had any question about you. Through this inconceivable pastime, he has glorified you as the supreme, most chaste, loving woman in all of creation forever. You are the ultimate example for everyone to follow. And Dasarath Maharaj, embracing Lakshman, showing his love for Sita, returned to his abode. Sri Ram looked at Vibhishan, who was always giving him the best advice. And Ram said, now, how shall I return to Ayodhya? Vibhishan said, Pushpaka, the celestial chariot, which was originally Kuvera's, the treasure of the Devas, which was stolen by Ravana, it is now yours. At that moment, Pushpaka appeared in the sky and came lower and lower and lower for Ram to board. Pushpaka was a chariot like no others. It was an entire city. with golden mansions, parks, wonderful trees, lakes. And Vibhishan explained that the Pushpaka, wherever you wish to go, it will take you there. There's no need for a steering wheel. There's no need for fuel. No need for horses. You just get on. You don't have to say a word. You just wish, and we'll take you there. Smooth ride. Whatever the weather may be. Nothing can touch you. Vibhishan escorted Ram, Sita, and Lakshman upon the Pushpaka. First, Vibhishan pleaded again and again to Lord Ram, please, now that I'm the king of Lanka by your wish, starting of today, stay with us for some days. Be a guest in my palace. He was pleading with Ram. Ram said, I have my duties in Ayodhya. Today the 14 years have completed, and everyone in Ayodhya has been counting the moments for this to come for 14 years. If I do not come immediately back to Ayodhya, what sufferings and miseries Kausalya, Sumitra, Bharat, Shatrughna, and all the citizens, I don't know if they will survive if they don't see me coming immediately. I must go. You rule over Sri Lanka. He boarded Pushpaka. And Sugriva cried out, can we monkeys come with you? We want to see your coronation. Sri Ramchandra said, yes, all of you come. Then he looked at Vibhishan and said, Vibhishan, you come also. And bring your whole family and your friends and all of whoever else you want. It was a great happy moment. They all boarded Pushpaka. They all had palaces. They didn't have to do seat belts with vomit bags and all those things that are in the Kali Yuga airplanes. And Sri Ram just wished to see his loving devotees in Ayodhya, and Pushpaka ascended with all of his associates. And as they were smoothly flying through the air, Ramchandra was showing Sita the different sights that she missed from the time that she was abducted. The sea that Hanuman jumped over. They stopped in Setu Banda. We explained the story where Vibhishan's wish, the bridge was cut in three places, at Dhanushkoti and at Rameshwaram, that Leela took place. They came to Kishkindha Kshetra, and Ram wished for the Pushpaka to come down to the ground. And he told Sugriva, Hanuman, Angada, Nala, Leela, bring your families. Let us all go to Ayodhya. One thing I'd like to add. Before the Pushpaka came down, different devas were coming to offer blessings to Ram. And the Lord asked Indra that every single monkey soldier that was wounded or killed
to whatever degree their bodies were manipulated, their heads were chopped off, I wish you to give them their lives back. And good health and happiness. Indra said, that is very difficult to do, but I will do it for you. He started dropping celestial nectar on all these mutilated, decapitated bodies. Not of the Rakshasas, just the Vanaras. And they all came back to life, and they were looking, and because they remember their head was chopped off, their arms were cut off, their torsos were separated. And here they were looking around thinking, amazing, amazing. And then the Lord told Vibhishan, give each of these monkeys who risked their lives and worked so hard for my sake, give them abundant wealth. Vibhishan was emptying his treasury with jewels and gold, giving it to all of these monkeys to bring back to Kishkindha. The Lord, on every level, he felt indebted to his devotees. And what's very beautiful in this story, it's not the jewels and the gold that gave them happiness. It was the Lord's love being expressed through those jewels and gold. The Lord is bhava-grahi janardana. He doesn't accept the thing, he accepts the love. But the thing is the medium, the facility in which we can express the love. When one is doing puja to the Archer Murti, Krishna doesn't need your little lamp of light. It's not that he can't see without it.
Chintamani prakadasatma sukalpa briksha laksha vrateshu surabhir ulibalayantam laksha vrateshu surabhir apipalayantam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
That in the Lord's abode there are innumerable kamadenukas who are giving unlimited amounts of milk. And if you want ghee directly, they'll just give you ghee. So he doesn't need your little ghee-wick. And he's the light of the sun. There are unlimited universes in the cosmic manifestation. And in each universe, there's a sun where Surya presides. That sun is millions of times bigger than this earth. Krishna says, I am the light of the sun. So does he need our little ghee lamp? No, but we need that ghee lamp. Because the Lord has told us, make it an offering of the light of your love, and I will accept it. So when the Lord told Vibhishan, give the monkeys abundant wealth for what they have done for me. And he told Indra to give them back healthy bodies. It's not that they were attached to the bodies or that they really wanted wealth, but everything they were given melted their hearts because it was the Lord's way of expressing his infinite gratitude and affection toward them. So this is reciprocation. It's the intent that gives pleasure to the Lord when we offer anything. And similarly, it's the Lord's love that gives satisfaction to the devotee when he gives us anything.
When a devotee is in the sunshine, there's a little pleasure thinking, oh, so nice, the sun is here to keep me warm and to give me light, and it feels so good. But how much more happiness when we feel it is the Lord's love, the Lord's mercy, the Lord's compassion that is shining upon me through the sun, that is clothing me with these clothes. Whatever health I have, it's God's love and grace He's given to me. And whatever health I don't have, same thing. When we recognize the Lord's love, Tate Lukampan Sushamik Shamano, we feel that love in every situation and everything. In life and death, in happiness and distress, in pleasure and pain, in success or failure, victory or defeat. And that is a transcendental state of consciousness when we recognize the mercy of God's love manifesting through so many mediums. From Kishkindha Kshetra, the wives, the children, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, they all jumped on the plane. Because monkeys jump. Do you remember that place, Sita? There is Chitrakoot, the Mandakini Ganga. And they were both looking down and seeing the sights together and remembering their loving pastimes. Then they came to Prayag, where Pushpaka landed. The Lord wanted to get Bhardraj Muni's blessings. Bharadvaj, this great rishi living on the banks of the Jamuna, Ganga and Saraswati, he greeted the Lord and the Lord fell down at his feet with Sita and Lakshman. He said, My disciples are regularly going to Ayodhya. I get regular reports. They are waiting for you. Bharat is still in the Nandigram, waiting in separation. If you do not return immediately, Sri Ram, they will not survive. Please be there by the morning tomorrow. Vibhishan had arranged for Ram ceremonial bath with nectarine fragrances and oils. He arranged barbers to cut the matted locks of Ram's hair and give him the robes of a prince. Ram rejected it. He said, I cannot dress in any way but this tree bark and deerskin and matted hair. Because my brother, Bharat, he has spent the last 14 years dressed in this way. Out of his love for me, I cannot wear anything else but the clothes of a forest hermit. Until Bharat himself puts on the robes of a prince. The love for the Lord, for his devotee. Sri Ramchandra told Hanuman, you go ahead and tell Bharat that I'm coming in the morning. But I have a service for you. When you tell him the news that the exile is over and I will be arriving in the morning, I want you to carefully study how he responds through even the subtlest expression. Because how
however great a devotee may be, to rule over so many thousands of citizens, to have so many followers and such wealth and such power, it's very difficult not to become attached. If you sense in him even the slightest attachment that he may have for these things, then I will make sure that he remains the emperor and I will be there to serve him. Hanumanji leaped on Ram's instruction. He first went to Sringaravera, where Maharaj Guha, the king of the Nishadas, was residing, and told him, bring your whole kingdom to Ayodhya for the coronation of Sri Ram. Guha was delighted beyond expression. And Hanumanji arrived at Nandigram. There he saw Maharaj Bharat with long, matted hair like an ascetic, wearing a black deerskin around his body. He was emaciated because for 14 years he would not eat anything but the raw roots that he found in the forest, and occasionally some fruit. And he was sitting outside his very simple little wooden hut, his kutir. And he looked like he was drowning in a fathomless ocean of separation from his brother. Hanumanji approached him. He said, I have come with a message from Sri Ramchandra. First thing in the morning, he will be coming here. He is so eager to meet you again. When Bharat heard this, he swooned, fainted in ecstasy, came up from the ground weeping, crying out, my Lord will come. When will he come? At what time will he come? I've been waiting and waiting. I only lived the last 14 years for this moment of Ram's return. And Hanuman saw in Bharat not a trace of attachment to anything but the loving service of Ramchandra. Bharat, his heart erupting in joy, anticipation, he instructed Satrughna, his brother, go to Ayodhya, decorate the whole city, tell all the citizens they could come here to greet Ram. He will be here soon. Satrughna rushed to Ayodhya. When the news spread, it was like the sun rising after a vast 14 years of total darkness. Everyone was dressing, decorating the city, rushing to Nandigram. There was bands playing, conch shells blowing, Brahmins chanting, everyone singing, as there was multitudes streaming into Nandigram. And in the morning, Bharat, his eyes
were constantly gazing into the sky in the southern direction. He asked Hanuman, "Are you sure he's coming?" Hanuman said, "I'm sure." Seconds later, Bharat said, "I don't see him, I don't see him. Will he really come? Are you sure he's coming, Bharat?" Hanuman said, "He will come, he will come." Seconds later, Bharat, "I don't see him yet." His anticipation. Was like an enormous mountain constituted of his infinite love. Everyone, the entire Ayodhya, their eyes were gazed in the sky, looking toward the south. Every moment seemed like millenniums. Bharat, "I still don't see him. Will he really come?" Hanuman said, "He will come." And Hanuman screamed out, "Look! There is Pushpaka! Sri Ram, Sita, and Lakshmi have come!" Upon seeing Bharat, tears poured from his eyes, and all the citizens of Ayodhya, seeing the Pushpaka coming closer and closer and closer, there was a tumultuous roar. "Jai Sitaram! And whatever eagerness was there in Bharat and the citizens of Ayodhya, the same was there in the hearts of Ram and Sita and Lakshman. When the aerial chariot landed on the ground, Ram, Sita and Lakshman came down. Bharat, Shatrughna, they ran, offered their full prostrated obeisances, and Ram embraced Bharat. They could not give up that embrace. They were both weeping in ecstasy. Can you imagine? The whole town, the kingdom of Ayodhya was watching. These two greatest of all princes in tree bark and matted hair, embracing one another in the ecstasy of their love. The last time they met was in the Chitrakoot forest when Ram embraced Bharat and gave him his sandals to rule over the kingdom. Together again, Shatrughna was embracing with such affection his own brother, Lakshman, as all the people of Ayodhya were overcome with emotion, crying out the holy name. As this festival of pure prema was inundating everybody's minds, Sri Ram saw, standing there modestly in the corner of the crowd, was Kaushalya and Sumitra weeping, taking their children through their eyes and embracing them into their hearts. Ram ran over to Kaushalya and bowed his head and clasped her feet, and she picked him up to embrace him. And Sumitra did the same for Lakshman. Through their tear-filled eyes,
They gazed upon the beautiful youthful forms of Lakshman and Ram and Sita. And there was Maharaj Janaka, who was called by Bharat, who lovingly looked upon his Sita, who endured so much for 14 years in the forest. The supreme reunion, which very much symbolizes the reconnection of the soul with God in the spiritual world. That type of union is waiting for each and every one of us. When in the mood of Bharat, we learn to take shelter. In the mood of Vibhishan, Hanuman, they have taught us the standard. That is the very key to the doors of Vaikuntha. Vasishtha Muni was approached by the three. They fell at his feet and he blessed them along with all the other rishis. And by their arrangement, they had the best of the barbers to cut Ram's matted hair, to bathe him in fragrant waters, and to place upon him, they perform the Abhishekam. Vasishtha Muni instructed Hanuman, Angada, Sugriva, and others to get the waters from all the holy places throughout the world, from the oceans, from the rivers, from the kunds, from the pushkars, from the pushkarinis. Make sure they're here by the morning. And the ceremonial bath of Lord Ram. He was coronated as the king. Bharat, he brought the sandals. And he told Lord Ram that now your sandals are here. These sandals of yours have ruled over the kingdom for the past 14 years. I have just been the servant, the trustee, on your behalf. And I want to tell you, Ram, that since you've been gone, the wealth, the power, and the glory of Ayodhya has expanded 10 times from the time you left. This is the power of your grace that is manifested through your shoes to protect, inspire, and empower us. Now the kingdom is yours. The great coronation took place and Vasishtha Muni had the crown put on Ram's head. The moment everyone was waiting for. There was a roar of chanting the glories of Sri Ram. Sound confused. Jai Shri Ram. Thank you. Beautiful chariots brought Ram and Sita back into the town of Ayodhya, where he sat on the throne. It was the festival of all festivals. And the celebrations went on for 1 month.
nobody could leave. Then Sri Ram gathered all the monkeys together. And first all the great kings, he sent them back to their kingdoms and gave them tremendous gifts of his feelings of indebtedness for their faithfulness and their devotion. Nobody wanted to go, but they had to perform their duties. It's kind of like leaving this yatra in Sri Rangam. Perhaps none of us want to go, but we have our duties. The Lord bid King Janak goodbye. Maharaj Janak, I don't want to go ever, ever. But I have to rule Mithila, and it is your wish. And he said goodbye to Sita and departed. Then the Lord encouraged all of the Sugriva, Hanuman, and all of the Banaras to return to Kishkinda. When Sitaram were sitting on a throne, Vayu appeared with the most incredible necklace of celestial pearls wove together with divine jewels. He gave it to Ram. Ram put it around the neck of Sita. Sita took it off and called for Hanumanji. Hanuman, with tears of gratitude in his eyes, was on his knees, folded hands, he bent his head low, and Sita put those most precious jeweled necklace around Hanuman. It was the jewel of Sita's love, her mercy. That was Hanuman's ultimate wealth. Hanuman asked for, Ram said, I want to give you everything, anything. You've done everything for me. What can I give you? Hanumanji said, let me remain alive in this body, within this world, as long as anyone is chanting your names and discussing your pastimes. Let me live in the heavenly realm. And be here to always protect your devotees. And let there never be a moment when I am not remembering you in love and devotion. That is all I want. Ramchandra gave him Kimpurusha Loka, where he's living always in the ecstasy of chanting Ram's names and glories. And he said, as long as anyone is remembering me and chanting my pastimes and names, you will remain alive with them. And that will be as long as this creation exists. This is Hanuman's love. Then Sri Ram approached Vibhishan. It is time for you to return to Sri Lanka and rule your race. Vibhishan is the symbol of Sharanagati. He's
surrendered everything. He took such risk in his loving service to Lord Ram. Seeing Vibhishan's deep, deep attachment, Ram wanted to give him the best thing he could. He gave him his own personal murti, which was the Ishtadev of the Raghu dynasty for many ages. The history of this murti is something wonderful. At the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma, who is Atmabhu, he was born on a lotus flower that sprouted from Padmanabha, the navel of Lord Vishnu. Who was lying in the Kshirodak ocean. There was darkness all around, and Lord Brahma was initiated with a mantra. He chanted this mantra and was given vision of the spiritual world and given all the power to create. Brahma wanted a deity to worship, and through his tapasya and his meditation for a long time, the Lord reciprocated with him, and from the ocean around him emerged the murti of Sri Ranganath Swami. Laying down on the bed of Ananta, Brahma worshipped that murti for a long time. He entrusted the worship to Vidaswan, who later on entrusted the worship to Manu, and Manu to Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku brought Ranganath Swami to this earth planet, where he ruled in Ayodhya. And from the time of Ikshvaku, Ranganath Swami was being served with love and devotion by all of the great forefathers of Sri Ram. As the most intimate gesture, Lord Ram gave Vibhishan himself in the form of this deity, along with the Vimana. Vibhishan was carrying back to Sri Lanka, and he came here where there is the Chandra Pushkarini, because he knew this was a very, very holy place, and it was the will of the Lord also, who was in Vibhishan's heart. On this island, on the banks of the Kaveri River, there was a king living here. His name is Dharmavarma. He had been to Ayodhya some time back and saw the puja of Ranganath Swami. And in his heart of hearts, he prayed that he would come here within his kingdom to accept his love and devotion. Dharmavarma came and worshipped Ranganathji. When it was time for Vibhishan to continue his journey to Sri Lanka, the Murti would not move. There was nothing he could do to move it, him. And then the Lord spoke to Vibhishan. Did I wish to remain here? This Ranga Kshetra is Vaikuntha. It is my eternal abode on earth. I will remain here. Dharmavarma king, he loves me with devotion. It was his prayer that I be here. I must fulfill his wish. You go back to Ayodhya, and I will protect you. Generally, deities are traditionally facing the eastern direction, but Ranganath Swami is facing the south. His eyes are gazing upon Sri Lanka. And through that glance, bestowing all love and protection upon Vibhishan and fulfilling all of his desires. Yesterday I heard a story about one of the Vaishnava Acharyas of the Sri Sampradaya. He gave a commentary that in Ayodhya, Sita was asking, when Vibhishan was telling Ram that I should be sent back, he was telling Ravana that ever since I came into Sri Lanka, there has been inauspicious omens. And he was listing all these inauspicious omens. This is what I was told. I'm the goddess of fortune. I'm supposed to make everything auspicious. How is it that as soon as I came to Sri Lanka, there was inauspiciousness? Ram said, it wasn't because of you, it was because of Ravana's nefarious activities of stealing you. She said, but still, I'm the source of auspiciousness. Why everything became inauspicious when I was there? So Ram said that in the form of Ranganath, I will always be looking toward the south, toward Sri Lanka, to show you how supremely auspicious you have made it. Over the years, in Sri Rangam, Dharmavarma built a beautiful temple, wonderful worship going on for generations. But then due to sandstorms and massive floods over thousands of years, the temple was lost. Nobody knew where it was. And as generations went by, it was even forgotten. But one of the descendants of that king, who they call King Kili, he was sitting under a tree, and a parrot spoke to him and told him that under the ground here is Ranganath Swami, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it's Vimana. Excavate. So he began digging, and he again found Sri Ranganath. And eventually, there's a very incredible history about how gradually this magnificent temple was built. The largest temple in all of India, perhaps the world. Seven walls. 21 gopurams, 250 feet tall. Natamuni worship this place. Shripad Yamunacharya made this his headquarters. And eventually, his most illustrious disciple, Sri Ramanujacharya, came here and established the worship of Ranganath Swami almost exactly the way it is even today. Ramanujacharya appeared in this world 1017 by our calendar. And from approximately that time, the worship has gone on by the descendants of his disciples. What time are we supposed to end? Does anyone know? So this evening, I think we're supposed to end. This evening we will discuss the place that we visited on the way here. That was the place of Gostipurna, and where Ramanujacharya received the mantra and exhibited his inconceivable compassion to all living beings. And also we will discuss the subject of Sharanagati, or surrender. I thank you very much. We'll have a few minutes of kirtan. You may dance if you wish.